For me, it's often when I am working with my kids. So as well as working at Wings, myself and my husband run a messy church along with Dave and Katie Simmons in East the Water, which is where we live. And the beauty of running a messy church is when you have your own children like I do, especially your own children who like to be with you all the time, it means that actually we get a chance to be together, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And so we at Messy Church this year are starting a theme on animals in the Bible, because why wouldn't you, really? And so that's what we're doing. So we started with Noah because it's the most obvious place to start. And every week at work at Wings, we have a staff meeting. Really, really important for us all to take time to be together, to discuss what's going on in our projects. But most importantly, and most joyously for me, because I've been in many workplaces, and this is the only one where I get to lead a little study, and we pray every week together as a staff team. And so this year we started off by looking at the story of Noah. And so I thought, I want to share it with you as well to tell you why we started looking there, and actually what we're doing. So just to remind you, because I'm not going to read the whole thing because that might take us a little while. Noah was an old guy, and he was told to build a boat. And he went, yeah, all right then. So God told him to build a boat where there was no water, where there was no rain. And he went, yeah, all right then. And so he built a boat. That faith. That faith blows me away. But we're not going to look at that. And so Noah built his boat because God had told him that what he saw in the world was just not good enough. People were hurting each other. People weren't recognizing who God was. And God needed to start again. And so Noah built his boat for his family and the animal connection, for two of every animal in the world. And so the rain started. Noah and his family and the animals were safe. The rains kept coming. There were floods. It wasn't very nice. And as my son pointed out, in the middle of messy church, yeah, but everyone else really would have drowned, wouldn't they? My son is 10. He does like to interrupt me whenever I'm talking. But I wanted to look at the end of that story. Once the ark had come to rest, once the dry land had been found, once Noah and his family left the ark. So we're going to start in Genesis 8. At the end of that story. So I'm going to read from verses 20 to 22, and then I'm actually also going to read a little bit of Genesis 9. Sorry, Nick, I didn't put that on. So Genesis 8, 20 to 22 says this. Then Noah, so after he'd come out of the ark, after dry land had been found, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every indication of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And then we're going to continue in Genesis 9, verses 12 to 17. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I establish between me and all the life on earth. I don't know about you, but whenever it's raining, we always rainbow spot. Anyone else rainbow spot? Yeah, excellent. If we can see a double one, like, that is the best day. But we always have that everlasting sign of the covenant. But what really was the covenant about? And that's what I wanted to just briefly look at today, and linking it to the work that we do at Wings, and hopefully linking it to a little bit of a challenge for all of you as well. What is that part of Genesis about? Well, really, I would say it's about a fresh start. A fresh start with Noah and his family and the animals. A fresh start from the way in which the world had gone. But as I said, Wings is all about aiming to give people a future and a hope. And sometimes that can look like a fresh start as well for people. A start that is actually different from where they came from. So God offers fresh starts and new beginnings. And I don't know about you, but I'm super glad that he does. Because actually, my life has not been one where I haven't needed an occasional fresh start. I haven't needed an occasional ability to put the past behind me. Haven't needed an occasional ability to move on from some of the hurt that has been done to me as well. And if we look at the story of Noah, we can recognise that actually people weren't doing well. They weren't doing good. They weren't listening to God, and everyone was affected by that. And we also need to recognise that we need fresh starts sometimes from those around us. So amidst the sinful choices of the people he created, the Lord decided that mankind needed that fresh start. And it was through a punishment with a flood, but he provided the way of escape. He provided for Noah and his family and anyone else who would have agreed and believed Noah to be able to be part of that fresh start. And the fresh start was there for all of those people and all of those animals who left the ark. And as I said, we work with people every day who might need a fresh start. Sometimes that fresh start might be because of the choices they've made. So the choices that they have made to maybe not do things in the best of ways for them. My young lad who set fire to the toilets, he definitely knew that that was not the best choice that he could have made. But in the moment, he wasn't able to make a sensible choice. And yet with us, he has a fresh start. We don't keep an extra eye on him any more than any others. He is allowed to use the loos. And actually, we, just like that fresh start that God gave to Noah, are trying to give a fresh start to people. But we also can look and go, actually, how about the fresh start of those, for those whereby actually it's been other people's actions towards us which has meant that maybe we need a fresh start. And sometimes we can think of it like those people who were not listening to God, who were not recognising what God had done, and them needing that fresh start away from those around them. But along with that fresh start also came the beginning of a promise, the new covenant, the promise that regardless of man's sinfulness, never again would God destroy the earth with a flood. An unconditional guarantee that never again would God wipe out every living being in the world. It made no difference what kind of atrocities man would commit. And sadly, alongside this promise came the idea that actually atrocities would be committed. But God gave the visible reminder of that promise in the rainbow that actually we would be able to remember God's promise to us that he would be with us even in the depths of those atrocities. And I thought I'd just share with you this morning a little bit about what drew me to Wings. So I've only been with Wings for a year and a half now, maybe. About that, maybe a little bit more than a year and a half. And what drew me to Wings was the fresh starts that I had been given in my life. Because by the time I left home at 18, my friends did me a "This is your life book," because it was all the thing at the time. I'm a bit older now. I don't know if it's as much of a thing anymore. But my friends gave me a "This is your life book," and I had moved 15 times before I left home at the age of 18. And no, I wasn't in a military family, which is normally the first question that I'm asked. My biological dad did not make very wise choices, is the way I'm going to put it. He felt that paying his taxes was an option rather than a necessity, and therefore we had to live abroad because he couldn't really come into England. He also didn't feel that his marriage promises were particularly important, but that also didn't help. And then my stepdad, we moved every time he fell out with people, which meant we moved quite a lot because he wasn't the greatest of person. And I needed a fresh start when I left home. I needed a fresh start because of me, 100%, but I also needed a fresh start because of my life and the circumstances into which I had been born, which meant that actually I didn't have the stability that I needed and that I craved, and I needed a fresh start. And for me, my fresh start came through a number of different things, but one of them was through education. I had safety and security in learning. And I found a safety and security in the idea that I had the ability to learn. And I found that alongside an incredibly supportive church, encouraged me to be able to be who I was. And they allowed me to do things that I definitely wasn't skilled in at the time. They allowed me to start preaching at a very young age, and they supported me. And they were my stability when I could not find it at home. And actually, that is what has drawn me to Wings, because I had a fresh start when I needed it the most. I had the ability to be surrounded by people who would show me that life isn't always what I had experienced, that life isn't always what I grew up expecting it to be. And that's why I want to work where I am. And that's why I believe in the education that we offer alongside the support that we offer. Because I know for me, it made all the difference in terms of my fresh start. I left home when I was 18 and I went to work for London City Mission, who, if you don't know them, they're awesome. And I had an absolutely wonderful time for a year. And when I started there, there were 23 young people who started the year I started. It was a 1 year gap year programme. And 22 of those people were put into Christian centres, whereby they ran clubs and they did work in their community. And I was not put into a Christian centre. I was put into a schools worker, and I went and visited about 30 different schools in London through my year. And I used to go in and teach RE. I was 18, never taught before, obviously, just left school. And I went in and I taught RE and I took assemblies, and I was able to talk about God every day, but was never able to preach because there's very strict rules in education. But I found my fresh beginning through education. And I now have the privilege of being able to point others toward God through education and through support and through more patience than I ever imagined that I had. I wonder what your fresh beginning was. Think back through your lives. Where has God given you the opportunity to have a fresh start? It might be within church. It might be through a skill that other people would look at and say, well, that's not of God. And yet I believe that every skill and every area of our lives is of God. I wonder where yours is. And then I wonder what you can do with it. I am in a really privileged position. I found somewhere where I am able to use my fresh start in order to point other people toward God and give them a fresh start as well. Some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not in that position anymore. No, you might not be. I'm not expecting all of you to be able to come and work with Wings, although if you do want to know about volunteering, please talk to me afterwards. But I wonder what your fresh start was, and I wonder how that can be used to help other people, to maybe point them toward God as well, whether you get to talk about him loads or not. What is your fresh start? So I'm just going to pray, and then I want to introduce you, well, reintroduce you to our team, because I've got a favour to ask. Father God, I thank you for the story of Noah. I thank you that you gave a fresh start. And God, I thank you that you continue to give us fresh starts in a different way. I thank you that you promised never to flood the world again. I thank you that instead you walk alongside us. You point us towards where you have that fresh start. I thank you, God, that we all have the ability to point people toward a hope and a future. And I pray that with your grace, you inspire us as to where that might exist within our lives. Never allow us to believe that we can't do something for you, because I thank you that that ability doesn't end until we are with you. Amen. Amen. Next slide, please, Nick. Thank you. So this is my team at Wings. This is the Wings team. We've grown a little bit since I saw you last year. So one of our TAs has gone on maternity leave and has had a beautiful little girl, and therefore has been replaced by Brooke, who you can see with curly hair down the bottom. Bring my pointer. And we've also brought on two new people. So Wendy down here at the bottom is our English teacher, and Nathan, who you can see up in the top right hand corner, has also been brought on as a TA. But this is our team, and they are awesome, and they work really, really hard to give people a hope and a future, or at least be a little bit a part of giving people a hope and a future. And so really my favour I have to ask of you is that you'll pray for us. It's not easy what we do. The people who we work with can be really, really hurting in every one of our projects. But I think probably seen more than anywhere else in our Ukrainian hub, where people might feel that actually they're not in their home, they're not where they want to be. That can feel really, really difficult. And also in our education projects, where people, the young people who are working with, they might have been excluded from schools, they might not have made it into school at all, and they might have had a difficult journey through education. And that those difficulties can sometimes be expressed in not particularly pleasant ways. And that can be really hard for us as a team. However much we know where those words and those actions might be coming from, to face them can still be really hard and can still take more patience than any of us believe we have. So please pray for us. I wonder, I put everyone's faces up. They don't know, but they'll be fun. I put everyone's faces up because I wonder if you might just each want to commit to praying for one person. If you want to know their names, that's the bit I didn't add, which was probably silly of me. But if you want to know their names, please ask me afterwards and I'll point toward who they are. But maybe you just want to commit to pray for one of them. They're all amazing, I can tell you that firsthand. And what they do and what they offer is really, really significant and really, really important, because always we know, each and every one of us knows, that we found a hope and a future because of our faith in Christ. And we would like other people to find that hope and a future as well. So I would be incredibly grateful if you would commit to praying for maybe everyone, or maybe one of our staff members specifically. So as I say, Nick, we'll put that back up on the screen if that's all right at the end. And then if you would like to find out their name, please do let me know and I'll tell you what they're called. Or you can just, you know, pray for them without knowing their name. That's also acceptable. Thankfully, God knows who you're talking about, even if you don't know their name. But yeah, please do commit to pray for us as to point people toward where their fresh start might be. Last thing I'm going to say, maybe, I'm not very good at stopping, but the last thing I might say is that I don't know how many of you are in contact with people of the 18 generation at the moment, but the saddest thing I hear on a daily basis from our 16 to 18 year olds is, I might just not be alive in a couple of years. It might not be worth living. And I don't know where those words come from because it's so widespread. I can only believe that it's something they're hearing as well as something they're feeling. But it's the thing that saddens us the most is when you ask one of our 17-year-olds, what do you want for your 18th birthday? And their reply is, I don't think I'll be alive. There is nothing that really breaks your heart more than that. And so please pray for them that actually they can see that hope and they can see that they have a future, because sadly some of their journeys through lives has made it feel like that isn't possible. I'm going to do that now actually. Let's pray for that. Dear God, I thank you that you want to give us all hope, that you can be that source of hope, and that you want us to have a future. And Lord, I just pray for the young people who we work with who cannot see that future. I pray for the young people who we don't work with who cannot see that future. And Lord, I just pray that we can be a part of pointing them towards the future and the knowledge that they do have hope because of who you are, and because you promise that you will never leave us. Amen. And now let's stand and we're going to sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.